Don't get lost in the waves of change.
190 pages, tens of hours of lawyers. One takeaway today is you now put on your listing agent hat when you meet with a buyer and you treat him the same way. That's what you need to take away.
KGCI Real Estate on Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
It's a consultation and a strategy. When you think of how people need to buy a home in this market, it takes great strategy. So why not strategize with that buyer? They need your help more than ever.
Depend on KGCI Real Estate on Air.
We're not sacrificing anything aesthetic. We're not sacrificing anything ergonomic by being mindful. We're just pausing and thinking about it and then making a good decision instead of rushing through to check everything off the list, right?
Right.
It's not going to be apparent in the final end result that you did everything in a really sustainable, mindful way. It looks the same. It functions the same. Mm-hmm. It's just going to last, and it didn't hurt anyone in the process. And if it's ripped out, it's not going to hurt the earth getting ripped out, you know? Sure. So I grew up in Los Angeles, and I had a very similar upbringing to a lot of interior designers where, you know, every gift that I asked for growing up was, you know, new curtains for my bedroom, or when I was really young, you know, play furniture for my playhouse in the backyard, or, you know, I would chicken scratch on the back of an ottoman when I was really young and do floor plans for my Barbies. I just have always, you know, kind of really been into spatial design. And I have not had a career change. So I'm one of the, I would say, few people in my industry, in my age group, that have not had a career change. I have done this for over 20 years. And I would say my first few passions were art and antiques. And that's kind of where I started. In college, I worked at the Getty Center while it was being built, the one in Brentwood. And I worked at Bonham's Auction House. I worked at a art gallery in Italy and studied in Italy, worked in antiques in San Francisco. And so that really informed, I think, kind of the basis of the two things that I love most about my job. And then they also both happen to be the most sustainable things that you can incorporate into interior design. I had toyed with the idea of kind of staying in art and antiques when I was in my early 20s, but we would get pinged so much for, you know, advice on if we're doing this piece of art, what is the wall color, what is the sofa underneath it? And it just made sense to me to kind of have more of like a holistic offering where we're kind of doing everything. And so, you know, I just started doing more basically because I was being asked to. And then, yeah, I would say from my mid 20s on, I kind of incorporated all of it.
I see. So at what point you became more aware or more interested in specializing in what we call sustainable design?
Yeah, I would definitely not say that I took a really linear path. I have always, just as an adjunct to my career, been very chemically sensitive, very emotionally porous, and that's just kind of like who I am as an individual. And so basically for me to have my job, I had to learn how to show up at job sites and not be affected, what samples we could have in our office, you know, and really educate myself as far as to all the materials, all the construction, you know, different methods that we could use that don't have chemicals. It was basically just born out of necessity for me to be able to do my job. Yeah. And then as far as us really putting it into practice in our studio, you know, I would say most people come to us for aesthetic reasons, and for experience and not for sustainability. I definitely let everyone know, like, hey, I know all of this. Is anything in this atmosphere of interest to you? Some people will say not at all. Some people will care about maybe solar panels or their carbon footprint. Some people might have an autistic child and care about the kids' rooms. Some people might you know, really want to do a healthy master suite because they just want to live to be 125. Like, everyone has a different prioritization of it in their mm-hmm. life, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of let them know, we know about all of the things. So you just tell us what's important to you. Right. But I would say that we are in the infancy of people really wanting to kind of have an acceptance, I would mm-hmm. say, more than anything, mm-hmm. about this being an issue. Because mm-hmm. once they accept it, then mm-hmm. they kind of have to act on it, right? So there's mm-hmm. a lot of not wanting to know, not wanting to engage in the conversation, just kind of blinders, because people are so maxed out already. To have something else they need to educate themselves on, they're just like, I'm done.
I totally understand. But I found it really interesting that it was actually out of your own personal need that you had to kind of take this route.
Yes.
In specializing. And so, you know, on your website, you have, you know, it's you do indicate that you specialize in sustainability. So how can we define sustainability in your world, in your line of work? And how
I feel like sustainability is one of those buzzwords that means something different to every single person.
Exactly.
And I would say for me, it is doing whatever is in the best interest of the earth. Mm-hmm. So just being really mindful about all of the materials that you use, how mm-hmm. you use them. You know, do you really need to buy that thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then just, there's a lot of life changes that happen in our industry, right? Mm-hmm. We all go into projects with the best intentions of having like forever houses. And then people get transferred, people have an unexpected child, there's death or divorce, right? And so things change. Mm-hmm. And you might have spent 5 years working on a house and then sell it the next year unexpectedly. Right. So I just try to be really mindful of, if this doesn't stay in your hands and somebody else comes in and doesn't want the aesthetic choices you've made, mm-hmm. if it goes into a landfill, is it going to hurt the earth? Is it going to hurt the environment? Or did it come from the earth and returning back to the earth? It's mm-hmm. not going to cause a problem. Mm-hmm. It's more just thinking of everything, you know, as a cycle. And, mm-hmm. you know, how can we kind of opt out of the cycle of constant consumerism and just mm-hmm. buy less, repurpose all of that? But then mm-hmm. also, can we be mindful about not having things that we're specifying that are going to adversely affect the earth if they go to the dump?
Right, right. Yeah, so now how you mentioned that you were chemically sensitive and emotionally porous, I love that term. So how do you merge that well-being part in the sustainability definition and in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I would say that because of just like who I am and the sensitivities that I have mm-hmm. kind of come onto this planet mm-hmm. with, I just innately incorporate those two things into my practice, right. regardless of somebody cares about it or not. It's just mm-hmm. part of who I am. So by working with me, they're going to get that. So mm-hmm. it's just stuff like basic principles of feng shui and really creating good energy. Because mm-hmm. a lot of it is just very intuitive, you know? Right. And so it's just incorporating as much as we can into a space, whether they understand that that's what we're doing or not, right? Mm-hmm. And for the chemicals, it's just, you know, really thinking outside the box. Like, do you have to use that chemical? Because it didn't used to exist. So how did they used to do it, right? Can we do it like that? Yeah. Or before this existed, how was that done? And it's a lot of just kind of pausing and uh-huh. saying, hey, this didn't exist 100 years ago. It wasn't very long ago, you know? Yeah. Like, what did they do the thousands of years before then? Because there's still a lot of structures that are standing from that time. Yeah. They did something right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as a green realtor, I'm always like kind of find my path of balancing, like what's green, meaning green is often considered like environmental sustainability and wellness. But I have had conversations with people who have like extreme sensitivities to chemicals or even electric magnetic field, EMF. So there is a very there is a different ways that these sustainability and healthy environment is kind of merging, but it's not quite synonymous.
Totally, uh-huh. I hear you. I think in our lifetime, it mm-hmm. will become more synonymous and they mm-hmm. will kind of start to merge together because mm-hmm. whatever is healthy for the earth is healthy mm-hmm. for the earth's inhabitants, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of common sense. Mm-hmm. So when we think about like what some people may define as sustainability, is it really sustainable? Is it sustainable right. long-term or is right. it actually a band-aid and it's right. just better than an alternative, but yeah. it's not actually the mm-hmm. best solution, right? Right? And I think that that is kind of a really Western solve to most problems. Mm-hmm. Let's invent something
right.
that doesn't exist today that mm-hmm. could be used that's better mm-hmm. than this, mm-hmm. but also, is that necessary? Can mm-hmm. we just not use it altogether? Mm-hmm. So there's a big part of, I think, sustainability that is just pausing and saying, do we need to do any of this? So when people say like, is this more expensive? Well, if you don't do it, then you spent no money. So no, mm-hmm. it's not more expensive. You know what uh-huh. I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But creating something that doesn't exist in the world mm-hmm. that has, you know, not maybe mass appeal, that could be more expensive, 100%. But right. that's not the answer. That's the band-aid.
Right, right, right. So is there any element of your design work that you find it harder to implement that philosophy? Sofa or like building, you know, material, any like you cover everything, you design everything, right?
Even we structure. Do everything. So mm-hmm. I would say when it comes to decorating, mm-hmm. I don't really run into problems. We definitely have a core group of people I've worked with forever that mm-hmm. we completely trust, from, you know, window treatments to area rugs, furniture, upholstery, mm-hmm. all the textiles. So mm-hmm. I kind of have my toolkit of, these are all the best materials. This mm-hmm. is how we're going to make them. This is how mm-hmm. we can finish them. Mm-hmm. This is how we're going to upholster this. Like, I have a toolkit for all of that. Right. Construction is much harder because mm-hmm. there are building codes that do right. not support the environment. They do not support longevity.
Right.
Nothing needs to be built to withstand time. That's not part of building codes. Yeah. So we're fighting that. And mm-hmm. then we're also fighting a lot of just how the system is set up. There are definitely some contractors that are open-minded, you can have a conversation with, mm-hmm. they are willing to try anything and they're fantastic. And then there are some that don't fall into that, you know, mm-hmm. bucket. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think for the most part, they have to first accept first and foremost that they are putting their health at risk every day going to work.
Exactly.
They're also putting the employees' health at risk every day when they're going to work. And just that alone, it's like a lot of people can't get there. Mm-hmm. The people that can get there then have to really buy into this idea that like incremental changes actually yeah. do add up, right?
Right.
So even yeah. if there's still these toxins that we're putting in, we take out these, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And anything that they're willing to do or be open mm-hmm. about is really helpful. And then you have, you know, the small percentage of guys that are just willing to do anything and they're amazing, yeah. but they're yeah. few and far between.
Right, right, right. I find that to be the case.
Yeah.
So how are you conveying your message to your clients or even the people that you work with who may not be?
Again, we just have a conversation and we don't push mm-hmm. our agenda on anyone. We are just mm-hmm. basically like, we know this, this, and this.
Right.
Do you want to know? Mm. And a lot of times it's no, or it is, well, tell me what the options are, and mm-hmm. then they'll digest it. And then they'll say, I don't care about this, but I care about this.
Mm-hmm.
People also don't think for the long haul either. So mm-hmm. when they are faced with the decision of mm-hmm. stay in a rental for 3 more months mm-hmm. and then order these paints and finishes that you can't go get at Home Depot, which are going to take a little bit longer, right? They say, I can't stay in a rental for 3 more months. Whereas in reality, if you can stay in the rental for 3 more months, this is going to affect you, the health of your family, your pets, and the environment for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, there's a lot about this that requires patience. And mm-hmm. we have just changed so much to not be able to have patience with anything mm-hmm. that the biggest shift is very much mental. Mm-hmm. And it's not really what we're putting into practice and doing some avant-garde things. It's just mm-hmm. a mental shift.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So I'm just curious. What is your kind of a foresight or vision, or how do you see that our world is going in terms of creating a home space? I mean, do you think that more people are becoming more, at least, receptive to
so I feel,
the kind of things you're doing?
Yeah, I feel like it will happen in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a slow progression. But I think back at like my childhood, and I remember, you know, before there were Whole Foods everywhere, like we would go to the health food store, and that was like, wait, where are you going? My friends would be like, what is that? Like, it was a really strange concept. Organic food was a really strange concept. I remember I had eczema growing up because I'm, you know, allergic to so much stuff. And I had to get prescription shampoo and conditioner in
oh,
the
80s wow.
because they didn't have fragrance-free, phthalate-free, mm-hmm. you know, sulfate-free mm-hmm. shampoo available at a store.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's 30 years ago. In the last 30 right. years, we've come a long way. So now
yes.
we have access to beauty products, you know, skincare, makeup, maybe quasi-healthy food. And I think we've made a lot of progress. And I think mm-hmm. people really do prioritize their houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that going away anytime
right,
in
right.
the near future. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I do think it is the next shift
mm-hmm.
That people really start to connect, you know, mm-hmm. anything that's kind of going wrong mm-hmm. in their health to mm-hmm. an environment. And it might not even be their house. It might be mm-hmm. where their house is located. It might be, mm-hmm. you know, the site that they're on. It could be a lot of things, but it's mm-hmm. largely environmental.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to talk about the book that you created. So tell me about the book. I went through this. Thank you for sending me. It's beautiful. I am so thrilled to see. The photographs are so beautiful. Now, I'm a photographer as well, and so I really appreciated the beauty of the book. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so we wanted to create a book that was pretty, and the mm-hmm. idea behind it was to create like these beautiful images and mm-hmm. kind of have a safe container. So mm-hmm. when people are looking at it, they're like, oh, this is pretty, I feel safe. And then we mm-hmm. kind of try to talk about things that are mm-hmm. maybe, you know, a little bit less fluffy, a little bit less safe mm-hmm. While you were kind of in that safe container. So that
yeah.
was kind of like the ethos of the book.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that talk about these topics are not, you know, having this imagery with it.
Yeah.
And then we also spent a really long time writing and rewriting the book so mm-hmm. that it was bite-sized captions. It was mm-hmm. super approachable, super digestible. It's mm-hmm. written in a way that like you don't have to read it sequentially. You can mm-hmm. kind of just read any little bit.
Right.
So the idea again is the same thing. Anything that you can kind of absorb and put into practice in your life is better mm-hmm. than not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read just part of the book, it's better than reading none. But we try to make it really approachable, conversational. It's not jargon. It's not like reading a textbook. It's like reading a magazine.
Right. Yeah. Tell me the name of the book.
It's called Live Natural.
Live Natural. I love it. So is there anything, maybe it doesn't have to be from the book, but I would like you to give us some tips that you can offer my audience. You know, anybody like ourselves that may be looking to do something different in the home. Say, you know, I'm currently looking for a sofa. And like, is there any resources or sources that you can share that you it's your go-to, or any ideas where people can do some simple things in their homes to make their home more natural, more comfortable, more healthy? Any tips like that, if you have any?
Sure. So I would say the first tip is to really just kind of pause and really assess, like, do you need that sofa, or can you reupholster a sofa that you have? Does someone in your life have a sofa that you like that they don't want? Just kind of, you know, more old school thinking.
Yeah.
Like, just do you have to throw something in the landfill in order to replace it? Okay, so that's kind of the first thing. And then if you're determined, like, yes, it has to be brand new, no one could ever have sat on it but me, because there's definitely a lot of people that are like that, right? It would just be, you know, making sure that you are making a mindful decision. So the things that would be the worst would be anything that has been sprayed with pesticides to get on a container that was shipped from abroad, right? Anything that has flame retardants on it, or anything that's stain guard protected. Forever chemicals that you can't reverse, that's the absolute, absolute worst, right? Then from there, it would be, can you use a fiber that came from the earth versus one that's man-made? So can you use wool, cotton, linen, a combination of them? And the benefit of doing that is that it also can usually be laundered, and, you know, it's not man-made, so it's not gonna, you know, not be able to go into the washing machine. Things that are made with poly blends, or any sort of micro suede, or any of that kind of stuff that you see at chain stores, like, that's man-made. We don't want man-made. We just want things that come from the earth, right? And then as far as the interior, it kind of just depends on sensitivity. I personally am a fan of feathers. I'm personally a fan of just having solid wood construction, trying to do things the way they used to be made with, you know, dowels, and not having glue and adhesive, right? But we even have had success with our upholsterer using fish glue. He's awesome, and he's open to using anything. So we have, like, a whole, you know, concoction of stuff that we've approved that can work for some of those harder things, like adhesives. If you're buying from a chain store, there's Cisco Home, which does a pretty good job. Lee Industries does a pretty good job. But the safest thing is always going to be to build something, because then you know all the materials that are going into it. Or to reupholster something. Or to just, you know, repurpose anything like that. But buying something from a chain store that's made overseas is the worst.
Yeah, I agree. I noticed that Room and Board has been recently certified as a B Corp. And I just got an email today from West Elm that they just released, like, a new green something. So what do you think about those effort that those some of the major brands are coming out? How do you discern that there are actually good material, good products?
Well, so B Corp certification is great. I am a huge fan of B Corp certification. We published with a B Corp publisher because that was important to me. It has nothing to do with non-toxic anything. They're not synonymous. The B Corp is transparency, accountability. It's a whole list of, you know, other things that have to do with employees, the employee structure, all of those things, right? So them being B Corps is fantastic, 100%. That has nothing to do with the quality of their product. It has nothing to do with, you know, them making things mindfully or anything like that. They probably are going to have to be more transparent about the chemicals they're using, which is good. But I mean, at the price points that they sell at, it is nearly impossible to use quality materials. It just is.
Yeah, I see. Well, I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, I think the bottom line is that, you know, it's best to use what we have already and, you know, refurbish it or repurpose it, you know.
Or if you buy something and you spend a little bit more on it, and then you keep it for 10 or 20 years, that's also the same as buying a new sofa from a West Elm every four years.
Exactly. Okay, well, you know, tell us what your dream is in terms of your future of your business. Do you think that you're going to have more audience who are willing and, you know, eager to work with you because of your specialty?
I would love to work with people that are aligned in how they view things. That would be amazing. I would also love to work on projects where people are really thoughtful about how they're using materials and, you know, waste reduction and, you know, the footprint that their building is leaving. I would say it's not always possible, but that would be definitely a goal. And I would say as I, you know, kind of go into the next chapter of my career, I hope that more and more people kind of, you know, wake up to where kind of we've gone in the last 70 years. And we can start kind of unpacking that. It's not, you know, just in our industry. It's with food, it's with pesticides, it's with farming, it's with so many things. And this is just a small piece that needs to kind of be undone. I mean, I would prioritize our farming over this. I think it's probably more important. But I think the farming coupled with the environmental stuff is kind of where it's at.
But still, you know, you and I are in the industry of homes. Like, you know, that's where everybody lives. And this is where we have a lot of carbon footprints just by living, you know? So it's important for us to really keep our values, you know, pushed forward, and so that people really get to know what this means, right?
Totally agree. And I think that something else that I would love to be able to like bring awareness to, and that I'm hoping the book can maybe help a little bit with is, you know, we're not sacrificing anything aesthetic. We're not sacrificing anything ergonomic by being mindful. We're just pausing and thinking about it and then making a good decision instead of rushing through to check everything off the list, right? It's not going to be apparent in the final end result that you did everything in a really sustainable, mindful way. It looks the same. It functions the same. It's just going to last, and it didn't hurt anyone in the process. And if it's ripped out, it's not going to hurt the earth getting ripped out, you know? But I think a lot of people think, oh, I can't have this one product because that product's not sustainable. There's a way to do this with absolutely everything, right? Because it all existed before the 50s when everything kind of went the other way. It all existed, right? And in our industry, we're getting so much inspiration from the past. None of that stuff was made with chemicals. So everything we're looking at and all our inspiration is made in this way. Why are we thinking it's not possible?
Exactly. That's a big question mark.
It's just conditioning, and it's just how we were raised in the time that we were raised. And that's the first step is, do you need to think that way? Why do you think that way? Can you change that?
I see that both the building industry and even the designing industry, we're kind of looking back at before the industrialization of all these, you know, chemical and everything, and we just have to learn from our ancestors what they, you know, what they've learned from the nature. So I'm just really excited for you and excited for myself. But so tell us how we can find you and tell us how we can find your book.
Yeah, the book is available anywhere books are sold. So on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, anywhere. It'll be out this spring.
Okay.
And then you can find us on Instagram at Jute Interior Design, or our website is juteinteriordesign.com. And, you know, when you land there, it's not going to look any different than any other designer's website. You know, it's just...
Right.
We are thoughtful in the materials that we use and how we do things. But I even find it interesting that you, when you went online, you feel like you took away that we're doing something different, because I don't even know that it's apparent when you go on our website.
Well, maybe because I knew already what, you know, what I was coming to too. But you know, that you have a point, like both what I'm doing as a, you know, green homes and, you know, naturally designed homes, it looked the same. You just can't tell the difference. And, you know, it's within the walls, it's in the fabric and all the materials that we choose, like you said, mindfully. And I think that's the key. Right.
Definitely agree.
Yeah.
And it's also just, unfortunately, this big of a problem in the States, right? If you go to other parts of the world, it's not the same problem.
Exactly.
People that have more of a reverence for the past and are more surrounded by older things, it's just part of their life that, like, they accept that things were done differently, and it's still fine to do it that way, right? It's we don't have that history here, and between that and capitalism and our building codes, it's just kind of this trifecta.
Yeah, but you and I keep, you know, are going to keep doing this so that it will become more of a norm in the coming years.
I do think it will. I 100% think it will.
Well, thank you so much, Ali. It was so great to talk to you.
You
and,
too.
Yes, thank you so much. This was Izumi Tanaka with Home Green Homes Podcast.
This is going to be the largest transfer of market share we've ever seen between agents in history.
KGCI Real Estate On Air, keeping you informed and empowered as the NAR settlement brings seismic shifts to the real estate industry.
You treat your buyers just like you do a seller. You get a consultation, you pitch, and you compete for the value you will deliver for the fee you're willing to accept.
Stay informed, stay prepared. Depend on KGCI Real Estate On Air.